gone a little early too. I'm coming to get him.
Good morning. I know y'all are sitting here thinking, what's going on there? That was me making you wait, just everybody going, what's happening up there? So hope everybody is doing well. Listen, look at somebody around you, give them that wave that says, hey, I am glad that you're here, and tickled to death that you're going to be a part of worship today at Central Baptist Church. I pray that the Lord's going to move in your heart as we worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're part of our online audience, again, we thank you for joining us today. Please say hello or good morning to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who monitors our online audience, one of the best note takers that I have ever seen, can give you a recap of what's taking place and what's going on. And we're so grateful to have Dr. K over there working the keyboard. So we appreciate him so very much. So as we begin our time today, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, again, we praise you and thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for a place that we can come to worship that's comfortable. We thank you, Father, for the freedoms that we have by which to worship you in spirit and in truth and in freedom that has been purchased with a price. So, Father, today as we take this time to gather together as your children, we pray that your words would permeate our heart. We ask, Father, that all that we say and do would truly honor and magnify you. Bless this time, Lord. I pray that we would truly have ears to hear what the Spirit would have to say to us individually in our lives where we are right now. Then, Lord, also we pray that you'll give us courage to react on what the Spirit says to us this very day. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Again, we're glad that you are here with us today. just want to give you a little bit of a disaster relief update and then show you a little clip of a video of some of the things that Billy has done in his flying. I know Billy and Don actually were flying supplies up into the mountains of western North Carolina. Jimmy and I have had the opportunity to move equipment around, such as feeding units, tanker trucks, bunk trailers, and that sort of thing. The update I want to give you is that as of this coming Wednesday, our sites, our relief sites, and I'm going to qualify what that means, the North Carolina Baptist Men relief sites are shutting down. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be out of North Carolina. There are different phases of disaster response, which is the umbrella that it falls under right now. So the relief efforts, that's the immediate response. That's when we're, you know, feeding folks, we're providing shower, laundry trailers, and all the necessities that are needed in an immediate way. Disaster recovery and disaster rebuild will be there for years to come. So I just want to let you know, that doesn't mean that as of this Wednesday, there's no longer a presence in western North Carolina. What that means is that the phase is going to change. There's going to be essentially the rebuild work that will continue and the recovery work that will also be going on during that time. So don't think for one minute that we're going to be out of there this week. It's just the relief efforts will be shutting down. The recovery efforts will actually be ramping up. I mentioned before, and some of you all know, as you have participated with items, you know, finances, items, the heaters, the different things that you all donated, a lot of that was flown in. I mentioned by our very own Don Wright and our very own Billy Queen that had made several trips up there to places that at the time there was no way to be able to get to them. So they would be met at the airport. Those goods would be distributed. So one of the things we wanted to do is take just a moment before Brad comes to lead us in worship to show you one of the clips that Billy presented to us about what all was taking place and some of the work that that our pilots were doing. So guys, go ahead and roll that video.
And I'm doing a video. We're just going to keep on going because it's yours. You can do what you want with it.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. little buffering difficulty there. Okay. All right, Brad.
I don't know if you'd catch that. All right, good morning. Please stand with me as we sing Come Ye Thankful People Come, number 637.
Sunny days of the summer, for the cool windy nights of the fall,
for the dark rainy clouds we come under,
Father, you've given them all. For the seasons when joy is a river, for the seasons when no water flows, we trust you when you are the giver of either the thorns or the rose. We say thank you. We say thank you. There's perfect wisdom in all that you do,
a purpose for everything you lead us through.
So
salvation we find in your holy word.
When the words are so easily spoken, or when they're so hard to say,
no matter what we are feeling, we trust you, so either way, we say,
please stand, remain seated as we sing We Gather Together, hymn number 636.
Give you a little idea of what's taking place there. Once again, Don and Billy actually were flying in the resources that you guys donated, particularly things like the heaters that were a part of that. And we really, really appreciate all that they did. But just to have that opportunity to, you know, not only see what was taking place, but to be a part of something that was needed in a time of need was truly a blessing. I know a lot of you all, if you follow the social media site, realize that we had the collection of funding for the heaters. They made it here, and essentially the day that they were brought here, they were loaded up on a plane and flown to Western North Carolina. There are still folks that are living in tents. It's going to be kind of rough. As you know, they had snow this past week. They had a lot of challenges that lie ahead of them. So it's going to be a long, long time, probably in the future. I know one of the things that we're attempting to do is we're attempting to find some folks that we can work with in the long term, those that we can go in, whether it's a church that has its finger on the pulse of what's going on in its community, so that we can provide what is needed for those that are up there. That could be teams that would be going up there. That could be materials. That could be, you know, many, many things. But we'll keep you posted in the future as we diligently pray and seek where God would have us to serve as boots on the ground in those particular areas. Today, we're actually going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you got your Bible, go ahead and turn over there with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As we gather to celebrate Thanksgiving this week, this is the Sunday prior to heading into Thanksgiving week. It is important to reflect not only on the blessings that we enjoy, but also what the biblical foundation of giving thanks really is all about. Thanksgiving, folks, and I want to make sure that we understand this. Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. Thanksgiving should be something that is a way of life for God's people, not something that just once a year we pause and we sit back and think, oh, well, let's be thankful today. Let's be kinder to one another. It's really interesting that it starts off with Thanksgiving and then it kind of trickles its way on down into the Christmas season where everybody seems to be a little kinder, a little nicer, unless you're shopping. Then it can go the opposite direction. But people seem to do for others things that they don't do the rest of the year. Have you ever noticed that? And sometimes we're that way. You know, our heart all of a sudden becomes tuned to other people. We will help the family down the street. We will help these children. We will do these different things. Why don't we do that the rest of the year? I think it's a lot of it is because it is called to our attention during these particular times of the year. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be thankful and we shouldn't be grateful for all of the many blessings that God has bestowed upon each and every one of us every day. I gave you an example just a moment ago. I can promise you that I know 100% for sure that some people woke up this morning living in a tent in this cold weather not far from here in the mountains of Western Carolina. I have seen them lose every material thing that they had. But yet, they have one another, and they are grateful. There is a sense of gratitude like you have never seen before. The people that I have encountered are not the ones that are over in a corner in a fetal position saying, I've lost everything that I've had. What they've said is, my family made it through. We're going to be okay. It's not about the material things. It's about the things that go beyond this world. You have to ask yourself, what would it do to you if you lost every material thing that you had? What if it was you today that woke up with a snow-covered tent and a portable gas heater and no place to cook? Would you still be able to say, God is good? And all the time. Would you still be able to say that? Or would you be sitting there crying out to God saying, why me? Why me? Why me? I like what an old preacher said to me one time when we were discussing this particular thing. And I said, you know, people have that tendency to say, why me? And he said, you know what? Why don't we have our attitude that says, well, why not me? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yet grace means us not getting what we really deserve. See, Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. It's a way of life that we are called to cultivate according to to God's Word. Now, I want us to look at today's passage, which actually is going to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading at verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, begin with verse 16. It says, "Rejoice all that needs no help." Would just go into our hearts and go into our minds. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be very loudly heard in each and every one of our lives today. That, Lord, we may be drawn closer to you, or, Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you as Savior, that today would be the day that all of the saints in heaven would rejoice over the saving of that soul. Lord, use this, your speaker, for these moments, that you would be lifted up and glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all like that? Those passages, there's a lot packed in those three little short verses, but it starts off with something that is very unique. It says, rejoice always. Can we say that we are always rejoicing? You know what it means to rejoice? Yeah, you know what that means? And all of us, I would be willing to say that every last one of us can't sit back and say that we always rejoice in our situations and circumstances. This past week once again proved a thought, something in my life that is true. That Murphy lives, in me as well. Now, when I say Murphy, I'm talking about Murphy's Law. You know what Murphy's Law is? If it can go wrong, it will. And it'll do it at the worst possible time. You know, I'm that guy that they'll say, oh, that's easy. That'll only take about an hour to get fixed. And turns into a week for me. Where are my people? Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not the only one. And those are things that can become frustrating. And when we become frustrated, then all of a sudden, we're not the rejoicing type. Now, when those things happen, you know, sometimes it's difficult to say, oh, well, the car broke down. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, the dishwasher's on the fritz. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to hit something here that's very important about that in just a moment. But one of the things that I have preached to you for years, maybe even decades, is that big word called circumstantial faith. God does not want his children to have circumstantial faith, and we know how to define that. Circumstantial faith means that our relationship with him, our attitude, our love for him ebbs and flows based on our current and ever-changing circumstances. If you have a bad day, and you're gonna have a bad day, does that mean that all of a sudden you just drop everything that you know about God and his word? Does that mean that you turn your back on him and say, well, Lord, you just don't love me because I didn't get my way? Well, as crazy and silly as that sounds, while you're sitting in the midst of church, that's what we do. How many times have we literally said, or maybe even thought, the old situation of, Lord, I don't deserve this. Lord, I've been doing good. My devotional life is better than it has ever been. My prayer life is better than it has ever been. Why are you doing this to me? We feel like we deserve something more. And yet, what grace says to us is that God bestows upon us what we don't deserve. And you know what? I love what Job said. Job said this in the midst of everything. Now, remember Job. Y'all remember him. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost it all just like that. I mean, if you go back and read that, it says that while the servants were telling him that his family had been killed, another servant rides up. This is back to back to back. Can y'all relate? And Job, then he loses, and then he can't sit down, he can't lay down, he's got boils from head to toe. He has pretty much lost everything. And then he's got three good old buddies. Now, I've told y'all before, I try not to be so hard on his buddies. Because his buddies were saying, well, Job, it must have been something that you did that when you sinned, and that's God's punishment on you. That's not always the case. Remember, Satan was allowed to try Job in the midst. And some of us know what it's like to have been tried by Satan. And God says, well, have you thought about my servant, Mike? Go after him. Whoa, God, hang on a minute. Don't send Satan after me. Give him a try. I think he's going to come out all right. And then, remember, Satan comes back and he says, well, God, the reason why he hadn't turned his back on you is because the way you look after him. You know, if you would let me do some stuff to him, I bet he'd turn his back on you. And God said, all right, give it a try. He said, you can do anything. Ooh, this is scary, isn't it? Satan, you can do anything you want to Job except take his life. I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty broad scope. Satan says, I think I got him. But yet he didn't. Now, I said all that to say this. There was a comment that Job made in the midst of all this that was going on. He's lost it all. And remember the comment that he made was this. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. In the midst of our little piddly circumstances, there's that word again, can we have that kind of attitude? Well, the Lord was good to me over here. Now I don't have anything, but hallelujah. No. Man, that drives people crazy. That pushes people away from God. They're like, well, God just turned his back on me. God's left me. No, he hadn't. Sometimes your faith gets tested along the way. And listen, let me make you a promise. I have no idea what God is doing at times. In fact, there are more times I don't have a clue what God's doing than I know than I think I know what God's doing. And when I think I know what God's doing, I'm generally wrong. But God's got a plan. And it's not always the way I like it. It's not always what I see. But he sees further down the road. Let me ask you a question today. Are each and every one of us passing the test? Have we clung to our Savior in the midst of the ever-changing circumstances, when the circumstances get tough, when the circumstances get hard, when the circumstances are hurtful and you don't understand why? Can you say, Lord, my heart's breaking and I don't get it, but I trust you? And Lord, today I am going to be thankful. We have so much to rejoice about. And that verse said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Sometimes we don't do so well with that. But I pray that today's passage will encourage all believers, each and every one, to develop a genuine attitude of thankfulness in all of our circumstances, because we're rooted in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he tells us that that is what we can do. Now, when we look at the historical context of these passages that we're looking at today, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church in Thessalonica. And here's a young church that's facing persecution, a young church that's facing trials. And despite their circumstances, Paul emphasized living a life that exemplifies Christian values, including thankfulness. And sometimes that's hard to do because we're ready to whip somebody, aren't we? At times we're like, I'll tell you what, yeah, okay, I'm gonna tell you what. In the name of Jesus, here comes a right hook. No, but that's the way we feel. Sometimes that's the way we see things, okay? See, the verse instructs us to give thanks in everything. I want to point out a distinction right here, because I know sometimes we struggle with this. This verse, hear this really good. This verse instructs us to give thanks in everything, not for everything. How do I draw that distinction? This is very critical. It is not a call to be thankful for evil. It is not a call to be thankful for suffering, but to keep a heart of gratitude regardless of life's circumstances. Now, I know that if you are like me, there are some people that you have run into in your life, and you would sit back and say, you see them in the midst of a suffering situation or something to that nature, and you sit back and say, I don't know how they survive. I don't know how. Every time I see them, they have a smile on their face, and it's genuine. It's not that facade. You understand the difference, don't you? You know that there are people in your life that go, And the joy is not a genuine joy. Or they're putting on the mask. But yet there are those who have that deep-rooted walk with Jesus. And what happens is that the joy is just like oozing out of them. Even in the midst of the tough times. And you have said before, I don't see how they make it. God, how about giving them a break? Yeah, I just don't know how they're putting one foot in front of the other. The hurt that they've undergone, the things that have taken place in their life. Lord, give them a break. You see, thankfulness should be a response to God's sovereignty and goodness even when we face adversity. And I'm going to say that again. Remember what we talked about. Our joy in the Lord, our walk with the Lord should never be based on the ever-changing circumstances in our lives. Thankfulness. Remember, we're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. Hopefully, this will be the start of something that will begin now and it will continue as a lifestyle for the rest of your life, not just something that we celebrate on a holiday in November once a year. But thankfulness should be a response to God's sovereignty and goodness even in the midst of the adversity, even in the midst of the circumstances. You see, thankfulness is really an attitude of gratitude. Now, how many of y'all are going to be honest with me today and say, I'm not always like that? I'm waiting. You're not. I'm going to give you some things here in just a minute that will help you in this particular circumstance. So you know how you know how you can stop being one way and start being another way? And how you can stop with the ingratitude and start with the thankfulness? One of the ways to do that is to begin looking at what you have. To begin to look at what you have. As believers, how do we cultivate an attitude of gratitude? Well, here's a couple ways. I like to try to give practical things along the way. One of those is that you can embrace God's sovereignty. Remember, we were talking about that. And sometimes people would sit back and go, oh, preacher using them 50-cent words again. Remember how we've defined sovereignty around here in a quick, easy way to understand it is that God's sovereignty means, remember what it is, David's taught us this, God can do anything he wants to whomever he wants to, at any time that he wants to, and here's the key, and be justified in doing it. That is what sovereignty means. So we need to trust in his sovereignty. We need to trust that God is in control, and his plans are higher than our understanding. Now, I always like to share just a little tidbit of an illustration along the way. And one of the biggest ones to me was when God, he let me go for a while, and he was sitting there working on getting the bat all choked up on and everything else before he hit me over the head with it. You ever had that happen in your life? And I still remember, and I've shared this with you before, but it was a lesson in my life, which is the reason why the Holy Spirit always seems to bring it up. You know, I had been a lot of places. I remember I was coming back from the Southern Baptist Convention. I was tired. I was grouchy. If you've flown, you understand what I'm talking about, particularly in the modern day. The schedule was off. I had to spend an extra night here. The flights were delayed. You know, I was kicked in the back the whole time. It just, nothing was going right. Y'all know how that goes? And on the way back, I was just sitting there thinking about how much I wanted to sleep in my own bed that night. You been there? I wanted to sit in my own chair. You know, I wanted to see my family. And we came in, and Piedmont Triad International Airport is not Atlanta's Hartsfield. Air traffic is not backed up for hours. I mean, you should be able to land pretty quickly at PTI. Amen? Me? No. We just sitting there flying around. I'm no aviation expert, but I know that when you turn left and turn left and turn left and turn left and turn left, I know something's going on. And I'm sitting there looking at my watch, and I began to gripe to myself. It was probably visible. The people sitting beside me, I mean, I had my arms crossed. I looked like Sitting Bull. Talking to myself. And I was like, land the plane. I want to go home. This is stupid. I'm circling Piedmont Triad International Airport, and nobody's saying anything. Oh, I was hot. Have you ever been so mad you just started to sweat? That's what I was doing. I was uptight. Finally, we made a final left-hand turn. Believe it or not, we were already running late, but even running late, we were landing 40 minutes past the time we were supposed to land. And we were there. We just circling around. Oh, I was mad. I thought, I am going to complain to the airline. I'm going to let them have it. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm probably going to hit the... If it wasn't that I wanted to get home, I was going to rip somebody's head off and hand it to them. So we land, and we're taxiing over, and I'm still fuming. And the pilot comes on and says this. He says, ladies and gentlemen, we're extremely sorry for the delay. He said, but the problem was there was a herd of deer on the runway. And we had to make sure that the runway was clear before we could land. He said it was almost comical listening to them because they would try to chase the deer off and they would run this way, then they would run back to the runway. So they were just moving them around on the runway. But finally, they got them away. He said, you know what? He said, we can't land with deer on the runway because that would be devastating if we hit one of them. And y'all know the intelligence of a deer. How many of you all know the intelligence of a deer because you've had to deal with a body shop before? That's a different sermon for a different day. But then the Lord said to me, yeah, you sitting there griping and everything else. And the problem with it was the runway had to be cleared so you could land safely. Now, folks, hear me out on this. There are times when you are in the holding pattern on circumstances and situations in your life and you don't understand what it is that God's doing. But let me make you a promise. When that's taking place, God is clearing the runway so that you can have a safe landing. And you need to cooperate with Him. So we need to embrace the sovereignty of God. A second thing we can do is that we can recognize God's faithfulness. We need to remind ourselves of God's past faithfulness in our lives and how He has worked in and through us. Has God not been faithful in the past? I hope and pray that every one of us, as we have followed the Lord, can look back over our shoulder in our lives and we see the spiritual markers of victory that have been run up, where God showed up when there wasn't a way. When God showed up in the midst of the darkness and provided the light. When God took an impossible situation and made it possible. I hope that you can see those things and say, you know what? I've trusted Him before. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to trust Him now. Until you see victory. And I'll tell you this much, the more you do that, the easier it becomes to sit back and say, yep, God's got this. He's got it. I've watched God do miracles. I've watched God do miracles here. Y'all remember that? About 15 short years ago, even right here in this church. Just about, you know, we was building a building and all of a sudden, we were supposed to do improvements on the septic system. It wasn't where it was supposed to be. The state guys here, we're drilling holes all over the place because there's not a piece of property out here that perks anymore. And we were about this close to being shut down. And somebody said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know, but that's not my problem. That's God's problem. Because I believe we're doing exactly what God wanted us to do. So, Lord, here you go. And guess what he did? He fixed the problem. He took away any restrictions that we would have had. He did all these great things, and we didn't think there was a way out. It seemed impossible. I got pretty good at going, and when somebody says to me, well, what are we going to do? And I go, Lord, how about handling this? We need to recognize God's faithfulness in our life. Hey, God's been faithful, hasn't he? You don't think so? I will guarantee you that everybody here woke up this morning in a warm bed, in a warm house, prayerfully took a warm shower, maybe had a little bite to eat. And some say, well, I just don't eat breakfast. Well, you could have. You know, and this kind of gives us a temperature feel of where we are on that. Every last one of us can go open our pantry, and I guarantee you it's full. I guarantee you there's stuff in there that you have to weed through to look around. And yet, you'll stand there and go, we just don't have a thing to eat here. Lord, have mercy. We're going to have to do something. There's nothing here. Listen, I've been in a place where when they say they don't have anything to eat, they don't have anything to eat. Where supper was a tomato cut up four ways to feed people. We haven't been there. We haven't been there. You might sit back and say, Lord, there ain't a thing in this cabinet that I want to eat right now, but thank you that it's there. I'm not going hungry. I mean, look at me. Do I look like I've missed any meals? Don't laugh. Look at yourself. We need to recognize God's faithfulness to us. We also need to practice thankfulness daily. You know how you get good at something? You practice. Are you thankful daily? Start each day with a prayer of gratitude. You know, the older I get, the more important that's becoming to me. Stuff pops and creaks that didn't used to pop and creak. And sometimes when I get out of bed now, I'm sitting there going, oh, Lord, thank you my legs aren't asleep and I can get up on them. Because there's somebody in this world that can't do that. We walked in this place today. There are people in this world that can't do that. We got out of the house today. There are people who can't do that. You can always look around you and find somebody that's in worse shape than you are. And when you do, you need to thank God every day for the blessings that we take for granted. I shared this one with you one time before about a fellow back in my old church growing up, and this guy was thankful, buddy. When he prayed, he was always thankful for something. And then there's always the kind of cranky, grumpy old guy. You know, there's the other one. And he was sitting there and he said, our guy's always just thanking God for everything. And I mean, he thanked God for little things. Lord, yeah, thank you for the light bulb so I can see better. I mean, that's the kind of guy he was, but he meant it. And that one particular Sunday morning, it was drear, it was drab, it was rainy. I mean, it was just nasty and everything else. And finally, yeah, he went in there and he goes, and I won't say his name, but he called him by name. And he goes, well, I'll tell you something. When you pray today, he said, you're going to have to dig deep to find something to be thankful for because I can't find anything to be thankful for today. And then he prayed right after that and he said, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm not like him. That I don't have that attitude. So he found something to be thankful for. So we need to start every day with prayers of gratitude for the Father, acknowledging specific things that we're thankful for. You know what I'm thankful for today? I am thankful that I get to get up and preach at Central Baptist Church. Because someday I'm not going to be able to do that. God may call me. I don't know what it's going to be, but I want to enjoy every opportunity that God has given me to exercise the gift that he's given me. You know, I want to go out and make a difference in the world today. And let me tell you, when you go out and be kind to somebody, I will guarantee you, you will make a difference in this society today. We've said before, that you talk to a waitress, they hate the Sunday lunch crowd. You know why? Because church people go in there, and the waitresses and waiters will tell you that church people are the meanest people on the face of this planet. Like Bugs Bunny. Cook, cook, where's my Hoss and Pfeffer? Where's my burger? You didn't bring my ketchup. Drink, drink, I'm dying over here. See, you don't know what they went through that. They cut them a break. Be kind. You'd be surprised how far that will go. Sometimes I sit back and say, you know, honey, I know they're running you to death. It looks like a bad day. But I want to tell you, I think you're doing a great job. And sometimes I'll say, well, I've messed your order up. I've forgotten this. Don't worry about that. You're doing a great job. By the way, in just a minute, I'm going to say the blessing for my food here. What can I pray for you about? You'd be surprised how full your tea glass will stay. You'll be surprised how them breadsticks and them chips and salsa show up. Because you haven't been that person. And usually you do it with your Welcome to Central Baptist Church name tag on. Now, you know I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about every other church in the world. Start a daily practice of gratitude. And hey, let's share with God. You know what, Lord? Hey, I'm thankful for the vehicle I'm driving. And some of y'all might say, well, it's 20 years old. Hey, it's still moving, ain't it? Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, you got me from point A to point B. Lord, thank you. For people in my life who love me. For people in my life who care about me. Lord, thank you for the people in my life who feed me enough cake that I should weigh 500 pounds. And just even the words of kindness. Tell somebody you love them and mean it. I tell people I love them all the time. You know why? Because I do. Somebody said, well, you told that guy you loved him. Yeah, I do. By the way, folks, there are three different kinds of love mentioned in the Bible. Agape love, that's the kind of love God has for us. Philos love, which is brotherly love. I can look at David and tell him I love him, and I mean that. I love him as a brother. And then there's eros love, which is a love between like a husband and a wife. You know what? When I tell you I love you, I mean that. Because I do. And I think it's time that we started letting people know how much we love them. That there's no regrets. Because the Lord can take us off this planet in a heartbeat and have no regrets. Lord, I love them. Finally, we need to share thankfulness with others. We need to encourage one another by sharing the testimonies of God's blessing and goodness in our lives. And instead of being jealous, we need to thank God that he showed up in somebody's life. You know, sometimes people get excited. I got a chance just a little while ago to see one of the folks from Awakened Church, and it was so funny because I knew her when she was a little girl. When she could barely walk, she was in my church, my previous church. And we had a chance to reconnect as Awakened has met over there. And when she came through the door today, she said, I was so glad to see you. I was going to find you today to tell you something. She said, me and my husband are expecting this coming June. Then I sat back and go, well, what difference does that make to me? You don't go to my church. I don't care. No, you know what I said? Woo, that's an answer to prayer. They've been wanting children. They've been calling on the Lord. And what a joy to be able to rejoice with them over the good things. And I'm thankful for what God's done in your life. Share the victories of what God's done. You know what? Brag on Jesus a little bit. And when somebody else, God's been good to them and they're thankful that way, don't you dare sit back and go, well, God, how come you didn't do that for me? Celebrate with them the joys, the victories. As we sit around our tables this coming Thursday, we need to remember that true gratitude flows
from our heart's relationship with God in every circumstances. In every circumstance, we have reason to give thanks because we are in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving is going to look different this year for a lot of folks. Some of you all have had to get used to Thanksgiving being different for a long time. There's a moment at times when those chairs around the table are not full anymore. You remember the good times. You shed a tear and you move on. But you know what you need to be thankful for? The chairs that are full. The joy that is on the horizon. And in just a little while, I love how the Lord explained it in His Word. There will be a great banquet in the kingdom of heaven. And for those who know Jesus, all those chairs will be full again. All of them. Here's the cool part. You ever been to a wedding or someplace and there's a little tag or a little tent card that's got your name on it? How many of y'all have ever been someplace like that? That's your seat. That's your assigned seat at the table. Let me tell you something. In the table of heaven, there is a card that has my name on it. It's already there. The place setting is there. And someday, I will sit in that seat around a lot of the old saints. You know what? In the past 22 years, we buried a lot of people around here that we know and love. They're up there at the table waiting on me and you. And we will see them again in the kingdom. And for that, I am thankful. For that, we will take steps forward until our time is done. As we come before the Father, we need to do so with our hearts full of gratitude, thanking Him for His love, for His faithfulness, and for the blessings that He has given each and every one of us. We need to ask God to teach us to remain thankful in all circumstances, acknowledging that He is the one who is in control. We need to ask Him to help us to cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving that genuinely reflects our relationship with Him, not a facade. And you will see life on a completely different level. How thankful are you today? I trust and pray. See, that's one of the reasons, and don't get me wrong, I love Christmas. Christmas is one of my probably my favorite time of the year. But I get a little bit irritated nowadays when we just kind of skip over Thanksgiving. It's okay. Y'all can disagree with me if you want to. That's fine. But I think we're losing out on a tremendous opportunity. This coming Thursday, it's not about the turkey. It's about the turkeys around the table. Be sure that you let them know how much you love them. Change the face of society. Change the face of the people in your life by being grateful for them. There are some people in my life that make me think of things that don't please Jesus. You have a few of those in your life? You need to love them. You need to be kind to them. Listen, if anything, that's a tactic that will drive them crazy. Tell them, hey, I want you to know something. That, don't lie. But you need to be able to look at them and say, I love you. Oh, that really gets them. See, I love you in the love of the Lord. How can I help you today? Oh, just get out of my face. Okay, have a nice day. Whatever. See, we need to love people into the kingdom, and I've said before that if God's people would do that, there would not be enough room in the house of the Lord at any location in the United States of America for people who just need to be loved on. genuinely. I don't mean I agree with everybody. I've had some really great conversations with folks that have come that said, you know what, I really messed up bad. And I said, yeah, you have. I'm not going to disagree with you there. Man, I messed up. I was wrong. This was a sin. Yeah, it was. But you know what? They did that and came to me because they knew I wasn't going to judge them. They knew I wasn't going to kick them out. They knew I was going to love on them. And you know what? That has been at the cost of others at times. People say, I can't believe how you could love on somebody like that after what they've done. Well, you know what? I would rather stand before Jesus and say that I loved somebody the way he did rather than turned my back on them, which, by the way, is contrary to God's word. God's word says that when a weaker brother is caught in a fall, those of us who are more spiritual are to come alongside them and walk with them. It's not always easy. Sometimes people don't agree with it. People I love that don't agree with some of those things, but I'm like, hey, the Bible is our standard, not our opinion. And I will stand on God's word 100% of the time when it comes down to that. I hope and trust and pray that you will as well. What does Thanksgiving mean to you? Brad, I'm going to ask you guys to come on up. Take your place as we begin our time of invitation. I always like to say this. This is not my invitation. This is the Lord's invitation. Today, the Holy Spirit is passing through, and he's passing out name cards. He's saying, do you have your little name card at your place at the table in the place called heaven? And it's not about I filled out the card. It's not that I talked with the preacher when I was 12 years old. It's none of that. It's do you have a personal relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ? Have you ever confessed that you are a sinner before the Father and said, Lord, you know what? What I deserve is death and hell because I'm a sinner. But thanks be to you that through Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection, you offer me eternal life in that place called heaven. Lord, I accept your free gift. See, we're getting ready to get into the time of giving. If somebody came up and said, hey, look, man, I got a gift for you, Crystal. You know, are you going to say thanks and walk away? No, you're going to say, you got to receive the gift. Have you received the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ? It's plain and simple. If not, hey, let me get unpopular in today's society. Let me tell you what's going to happen if you haven't. If you haven't, you're going to die and go to hell. End of story. The place which burneth with fire and brimstone. The preacher said hell. Yeah, believe it or not, there are some still pastors that preach about hell. That place you don't want to be. Well, you're just trying to scare people into heaven. Don't care how you get there. You ought to be scared of hell. I mean, hell scares me. That's a good reason. We'll scare you out of hell, but then you need to learn how to walk with Jesus. You begin to love him. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Have you made that decision? It's plain and simple. Have you trusted him? Or do you have a form of religion? Well, I'm religious. I go to church, and my ledger has more good on it than bad, so certainly he'll let me into heaven. No, listen, that's not how you get into heaven. You get into heaven because you know Jesus, not because of your resume of good versus evil. Hell's going to be full of church people. You've heard me say that a bunch of times. People who were deceived in what salvation was about. Oh, I'm a good person. Good people go to hell too. Saved people go to heaven. Have you trusted Jesus? Listen, if not, whether you're here, whether you're watching online, if you need Jesus, by the way, that's not me asking you, it's the Holy Spirit's conviction in your heart. If you need Jesus and you hear him calling you right now, then you stop what you're doing. You say, Lord, I hear you today. Forgive me of my sins and save my soul. Help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I will promise you that if you did that, that was the handshake with the Father. You've just met him. There's a whole lot you need to learn about the family. And it's not a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts and that sort of thing. It's come on in and enjoy the celebration. Listen, if you trusted Christ when we start our invitation time, please let me know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to help you on that journey. Maybe you're here today and you just got a swift kick in the pants. That's what I call the movement of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Maybe you just need to draw close to, whatever the case may be, you need to do business with God. If you do, there's still the old-fashioned altar. You're welcome to it. I will be here if you need for me to pray with you. Whatever the case may be, now is the appointed time. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn number 312, softly and tenderly, as Brad leads us.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Are closed. Listen to that song. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's waiting. He's watching. Here is your personal invitation to the kingdom of heaven, your personal invitation to sit around the table to celebrate with our Savior. Will you accept that invitation? Now is the time. You respond to the Father in the correct manner. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, as we continue to worship you by returning to you the tithe and the offering, Lord, we do so today as we should every day, thanking you for the provision. Again, the word tells us that all good things come from you. You have blessed us beyond measure. You have blessed us beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And Lord, may we truly, truly be grateful for that. Now, Lord, you have asked us to return to you just that small portion. And Lord, you've said in your word, try me and see if I will not open forth the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that you cannot even imagine. So Father, giving back to you is not just about keeping the lights on in the building, but Lord, it's about being faithful and obedient that you might bless us beyond anything we could ever imagine. Lord, may we be found faithful today to give back to you what's yours, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Listen, let me give you a couple things. We'll get you on out of here. Announcements, what we've got going on. Birthday's coming up this week. Actually, tomorrow, Jim and Debbie's baby, Addie McDonald, will be celebrating a birthday tomorrow. And then this coming Thursday, Kay Harrell will be celebrating another trip around the sun. So be sure to harass her and let her know how much you love her along the way. As far as events that are coming up today, just to run them down real quick, my discipleship group, my D-Life group, will meet at 3:30. Choir practice, 4:45. So that's still in good shape. Awana, 5:30. That's its normal time. Bible study with Pastor David is at 6 o'clock this evening. And then you guys have band rehearsal, right? Band rehearsal right after the evening service. We say 7 o'clock, but whenever David gets done, they'll kick it up. Monday, Steve's D-Life group meets in FLC 116. They have kind of changed the time. The new time is 6 o'clock p.m. It's been a couple weeks, but we keep saying new time at this point. So if you're part of Steve's discipleship group, that's tomorrow, 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, there's the men's breakfast. No agenda whatsoever, just a time to build fellowship at 10 a.m. at the Olympic in Colfax. Everybody just goes. Not this Wednesday. Oh, everybody's going to be stuffed up on, you're saving up to stuff up on turkey. So normally every Wednesday, not this Wednesday because of Thanksgiving, but they'll probably kick back up right after that. We'll keep you posted. Ladies, Connections monthly meeting is going to be December the 4th at 6 o'clock p.m. In the Family Life Center, room 116. Also, the ladies' monthly breakfast is going to be on December the 11th at 9 a.m. at Cagney's on Friendly. Just a couple things to mention as well. There is the event called Prepare Him Room, the CBC ladies, December the 7th from 9 a.m. to noon. You will need to RSVP for that, and I'm assuming that's your number. Is that your number? Oh, heck, I guess that is our number, isn't it? There's a sign-up sheet out back, or you can call the church if you would like to go on that. They'll need to know how many people for that. Or you can talk to Mari. Wave Mari. That's Mari. If you need more information, Mari can let you know about that. That's the Prepare Him Room event. Also, Operation Christmas Child. We have a group that's going to be going to Charlotte to do the sorting. That is going to be on December the 11th. The time slot is from 1 to 6. Is that correct? Or is that okay? There will be transportation provided from the church. They have 20 openings, I believe, to be able to go. Dina is in charge of that. Now, the bulletin, I think, says ladies only. That's not true. We were just seeing if you are paying attention. Guys, you can go if you want to. But the first 20 people to sign up are going to be able to get to go. That's Dina back there. See Dina? Wave, Dina. If you need some information, see Dina. She can let you know. That's going to be December the 11th, Operation Christmas Child Sorting Center in Charlotte. Also, there is a sorting event. I know y'all are sitting there. What's a sorting event? That is for the Western North Carolina clothing that has come in. That is going to be on December the 4th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Classroom 4, right down the hall there. Anybody can come and help, and all help is appreciated. We try to get those sorted by size and gender. You know, if it's little boys, little girls, big girls, whatever, and we try to get the sizes sorted so it's easier for them to manage when that stuff goes up to the Western Mountains. Also, there's a finance team meeting today, unless that's changed. Is that correct? Finance team meeting today after church. Is that going to be in the 116 right across from the kitchen, FLC? That's our conference room. Hanging in the Greens is going to be on December the 1st on Sunday morning, 10:45. So the 12:1 service will be our Hanging of the Greens right here. And then the Christmas Cantata is going to be on December the 15th at 6 o'clock p.m., followed by a hot chocolate social. We might even get the choir to sit there and do the thing from, what was it, Polar Express? Yeah. Only got one rule, never ever let it cool. Come down the aisle, serve all of you hot chocolate. Y'all be working on that. I'll be expecting that. By the way, if you can, bring some finger food for that. It's just going to be a fellowship afterwards, just to have time to enjoy one another's company. And then also, our 2025 Cuba mission team is set. That's going to be February the 28th through March the 7th. We need you to be praying for us. Right now, our team is we have a team of four. Hopefully, if we don't have to have a knee surgery, it'll be four. Otherwise, it may be three, but pray for us. We're going to need that more than you will ever know. There are probably some things that I have forgotten, But we'll fill in the blanks as we come. Pastor David will come and see us off in a word of prayer. By the way, if you're here visiting with us, I see some new faces around. Thank you guys for spending some time with us today. It was a pleasure to have y'all with us, and hopefully we'll see you again. And I wish each and every one of you a very, very happy Thanksgiving, and may God bless you greatly.
A little follow-up on our pastor's message this day. Check our website, look on the emails. There are a lot of folks in our church family who are going through some difficult times. As you gather with your family around the table, remember these people and pray for them. Let's pray right now, please. Thank you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the privilege we have of being here today. We thank you for the family of God, that love that binds us together as the family. Lord, we lift up all those in our church family and friends and relatives and that are going through difficult times through this season. Lord, we pray for a touch from you, the power of your Holy Spirit to do what no other doctor, no other person can do, just reach down and heal them. Lord, as we go from this place and as we spend this week preparing for the Thanksgiving celebration, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to truly be thankful and to demonstrate that by the way we live our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.